and welcome to Gravitas Wins Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jude. When it comes to wealth, there are a lot of talk about making wealth and growing wealth. But what about protecting it? How to ensure that it gets passed on to the next generation in the way that you would like it to be? One of the ways of protecting wealth is with will. To discuss how to protect wealth with will, I have my good friend and leading lawyer Priyanka here. We are going to discuss everything about creating will. Hopefully you find this conversation very interesting and useful as well. Hi Priyanka, welcome to the conversation.
Hello Joseph, and thank you for inviting me on your podcast. And it is a pleasure for me to be here, and I could share my wisdom with your viewers, and I could do justice, so I'm all good to go, please.
Thank you. Let's start with the definition, Priyanka. What is a will? Who should create a will?
Okay. See, Joseph, I'll go very simplified so that it is all your viewers are able to understand what exactly is will. Will is some document where the drafter, the person who makes the document, he puts his desires that how is his movable and immovable assets. Movable in sense, we can say shares, accounts, immovable landholding, house, these are all immovable properties. Estate, how he wants it to be bequeathed post his demise, his last desires. So this is his wish, the desire. And the person who makes the will, he is known as testator in the legal language. So any person who has any estate, movable or removable, or whatsoever amount, he should always make a will. And only the person who are major, above 18, and who are not lunatic, I mean, who are in the sound mind, can make the will. Even if a person is ill, bedridden, can also make a will, but he should be in the right frame of mind, sound mind. And one thing more, Joseph, I would like to add here, the will has to be his desires, his or her desire. It cannot be under any coercion, force, or under some outside pressure. So this is what will is, and this is how it is under the Indian law.
Okay. Is there anything to do with, I need to have a million to make a will, or can I make a will even if I have one house and 10,000 rupees in my bank? So is there any restrictions like this?
It's a very good question that you asked. Any person who is having any amount of movable or any small property, maybe a one bedroom flat, can also make a will. And a person, you see, today across the world, the high-end people, they have their persons on board who take care of how the property is to be, you know, succeeded further. So especially in countries like Dubai and all, they take care of this. And even big multinational company owners, they always want that their property should be inherited and should go in the right hand. If we do not make a will, see, the reason why we should make a will, I'll lay a very good example over here, Joseph. It has happened within the legal fraternity only. I would not name the person, just it's not like that I cannot, but I would like to keep it covered. He was a retired high court judge from this court of ours, from Punjab Haryana High Court. Out of love and affection, he bequeathed one of his property, the self-acquired property, to his loved son. And you see, the mischievous son, instead of being grateful, what he did in the home where they were all living, one property was already transferred to his name. And they had two sisters also. But then he was not happy that what he got was a grace from his father while he's living. During his good days, he put his father into one room of that big bungalow in Chandigarh. And finally, to rescue himself, because he was more like a prisoner in his own home. See, the bad luck was that had he made a will during his, you know, those days when he bequeathed his property, it would have been post his death. You know, his demise, this, you know, his last desires would have been, you know, the property would have been divided as he wanted for his daughters as well as son, if the will was there. Otherwise, intestate, the succession would have taken. But now see the remorse, the apathy, that person from a legal background, but then when it is, you know, a father getting under emotions and he's bequeathing some huge chunk of property to the son and he's still not satisfied, he's made to live like a person in one corner room. So ultimately he had to go to the high court, knock the door of justice, and then the court reverted the gift, what he had given to his son. And then you see, this is how he had to get back his rights and secure his future. So it is always good, what I advise to all your audience, whether young or old or whatever age bracket they are, male or female, they should always make a will. The best part is, while you are living, you are able to enjoy your movable and immovable property, and you never know how the time will come. There are good times. At times, the worst time can also come. So for your rainy days, these all wealth can be an advantage to you, because you know that your intentions are very clean and clear, how you want to bequeath. But we cannot say about the people on whom you trust, and while living you want to transfer, how will they behave thereafter, once they are feeling themselves to be secured. So I am of the opinion, it is always good to make a will, but while living, do not transfer your properties. Otherwise, it can be a miserable situation for you.
Okay. So you already talked about one of the points of the mistakes that happens, which is gifting while alive. Right. What are the common mistakes that you have seen people make in creating a will?
Yes. What we have seen, Joseph, again, while during my explanation of this question, I'll give again one of the cases that would be again like a very nice highlight to your audience for that. You see, while making a will, I'll just categorically come one by one to the points. Earlier, I said the person who's making a will should have property, say a self-acquired or maybe inherited property in his or her name, number one, sound mind and a major. Then, of course, he should wisely choose two witnesses to make a will. And they should be somebody confident, adult, and in the sound mind. And somebody, it will be good if he takes one of the witnesses as an advocate or somebody who is a part of a registrar's office, maybe like local area sarpanch, lambardar, so that tomorrow in an official capacity, they can come and be the witness. But of course, having said that, it's not mandatory to keep the other witness as an advocate or the lambardar or sarpanch, what I was telling you. It can be independent, any other known person also. And one thing more, the people whom you want to bequeath the property, the beneficiaries, they should never and they cannot be the witnesses. So this has to be very clear. The witnesses have to be independent from the beneficiaries. And now coming back, what is beneficiaries? Beneficiaries are the ones who are going to inherit the property, right? So they are the beneficiaries. And it is always good to make a testator also, not the testator, the one who is going to be the executor for the testator's will. Now, who's the executor over here is the person who will execute the will. So it's always good for a, you know, testator to have a executant for the will who could, you know, after his demise, could execute the will as his desires and take care that all the dues which are to be paid are cleared and properly the beneficiaries are given their chunk of share, whether in the form of movable or immovable assets. So these are the few things which are very, very important to be taken care. And apart from that, if possible, register your will before the registrar's office. And it doesn't take much of time. And there is advisable that if you are, you know, clear in your mind and do not have much of a clutter in your property, then you can draft your will all by yourself. Otherwise, go to a, you know, lawyer. Discuss the nitty-gritty of your issues with him or her, who could guide you how to, you know, he or she will draft your will. And once the will is drafted, get it registered. So this is always good, Joseph.
Okay. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask was how to go about making the will. So what you are saying is, if there are not complex transactions or complexity in your wealth, we can draft it by ourselves. Otherwise, consult a lawyer. Okay.
It is always good to consult the lawyer for the reason I'll tell you. It was around 3-4 months back, old couple, they came to me and the issue they were facing was related to the family, of course. And they were facing issue with their son, who, of course, was in Merchant Navy, but with their, but his family who were staying in the same home. But then on the other end, they said that this property, our wealth has to be inherited by our son, his family, and our daughter who's staying abroad. But then they wanted to secure their old age also. They were scared. So what we advised was that as both husband and wife, by God's grace, they had long many years to live together. So what we advised was that there were certain properties in the name of wife and certain properties in the name of husband. So what we did was that we advised the husband that he should make a will post his demise. The property caretaking rights are with the wife. Post the death of the wife, whatever are his last desires for his son and for his daughter, accordingly the property will be bequeathed. So that during the tenure when his wife is alive, and maybe if husband goes first, the wife goes first, their interests are intact. They are taken well care by the their children. So this is another way of being smart at the time of making will. And then apart from that, there is one thing more, that we can even revoke the will. For a moment, Joseph, like I have a few estates, I have written a will, and in due course of time, I find that my love and affection is changing towards the one whom I have, wanted the estate to go ahead post my demise. So I can revoke my will, or I have, added few more, wealth to my estate, then I can make a codicil here. Now, this is something very interesting that is there in our Indian Succession Act. The word codicil means that the first will remain intact. Now, with due course of time, in few years, if I feel that I have add on more wealth, so I can make codicil a tail to that will, which will add on what more is to be done to my added, assets. So everything is very systematic in order. Only thing is, be clear in your thoughts how you want to bequeath. And be very clear, if you have to make your own will, in a simple language, telling that this has to go to A, this has to go to B. And at times, if you want your property to be inherited by some outsider, give the reason. Why do you don't want it to be inherited by your successors? Give reason and tell that you're in a sound mind. It is not under any coercion. Give the reason of those incidents, so that tomorrow, post your death, if it is contested, the will and those evidences produced by the, the beneficiary whom you wanted to be beneficiary, and the contested, maybe your, the successors, they are defeated, and the beneficiary, your last desires are well fulfilled.
Okay, very good point. Now, how often should we review? You talked about codicil, but how often should you review and update the will? Is there anything that you, either as a guidance or as a law?
See, Joseph, there is no hard and fast rule for that. It depends upon a person's situation. For a moment, I say that somebody who's an entrepreneur and is on a, growing and amassing his, is acquiring new companies, his properties and all, and he's going for a long, aspirations. Then, of course, after every 2 or 3 years, if he's amassing something add-on, it's always good to make a, codicil to it. Or you find in due course of time, there is a change of behavior in the beneficiaries, and you think that your decision was not right, it is always good to revoke. It's always good to revoke. And with giving the reason why you are revoking. It's always good.
So you talked about inherited wealth and then some properties being in husband's name or the wife's name. How do you handle the joint properties?
Right. See, in the joint property case, it's again the chunk of share that you will get, or you have, registered. Maybe somebody has 1/4 of a share. So you are entitled to make a will qua the share, your legal right. You cannot, like, for example, I do not have a right over B. And in my will, if I write something about B, that is null and void. So makes no sense at all. So I need to have a title before making a will.
Yeah, let's take for example. So let us say, for example, I have a house.
Right.
Which is on both my name and my wife's name.
Right.
How would that will work?
See, in that case, whatever the share, Joseph, you have, you can take decisions on your share. As far as your wife is concerned, she can take decision qua her share. So it cannot be superimposed.
Can we have a joint will, like the joint property, is there a joint will or is it's always a two will?
I'll tell you, see, it is always good to make a will individually, not a joint will. It is always good. For the reason, an individual has his own chunk of share. For example, as you said, maybe you have a 75% share in the property and your wife has 25% share. Making a joint will, then combining together, it's not something which I have seen people doing it. Will is your desires. So make your individual will. Even if tomorrow you want that your share post your demise should be transferred to so-and-so, but only qua your percentage. It is always advisable. And apart from that, while I mean discussing this thing, it stuck one thing in my mind, which we had faced in one of the cases was, while drafting a will, there are, you know, joint properties, as you said, or maybe a one chunk of home, which is four stories, or there are certain rooms up and down. It is not something which was planned for division, but it was with a holistic or a very organic thought that it's a one family. Now, as family grows, your kids settle down, now you want that this one big bungalow, which I have in Sector 8, Chandigarh, for example, I cannot, you know, partition it. For individually, there are not four floors or something of that kind. So it's always good to clear in the will which pathway is to be used by which person, staircase rights, the common area. You need to be very, very clear for that. Sit, discuss which is the best architectural plan with which you can divide so that tomorrow post your death, the relationship beauty should be also intact. It shouldn't be like you leave something, but then for inheriting something, they are into further, you know, tug of war. So one needs to be very, very careful. Like in one of our cases, what happened was the lady, she had drafted the will, but she couldn't register the will due to her ill health and all. And post that, there was certain clauses under the Hindu Succession Act. If a couple dies issueless, the property has to go back, if inherited from the maternal side, the lady, it has to go back to the maternal side only. But the sister, she had never taken care. She was a doctor herself, not even for a single day. She came, took care of her sister. It was the husband. And she wanted a trust to be made post her death for the education of the girl. Now, you see, the law says the property has to go back. The desire of the lady was that she wanted the property to be inherited by her husband so that he was the executant plus a beneficiary through which the trust could be created. It was a very, very mature thought of the lady. Now, having said that, now due to one complexity, that was the law, and not getting the will registered. And at times, even the register wills, of course, I cannot say that they will not be challenged. They can be also challenged. But now what happened in this case was there was a battle, and just a few months back, around 2-3 months back, finally the will was probated, and I hopefully soon the desires could be fulfilled for the, you know, the demise lady. So one needs to always take care of these states. It's always good to take timely decisions for, you know, timely implementation of your desires.
Okay. Most of the audience and the friends that I have are all in the IT sector, and they have investments and properties and accounts in different countries.
Right.
In that particular case, maybe 2-3 countries, not more, like maybe 2-3 countries. In that particular case, how can the will be done? Will it be administered under the Indian law? Will it be on the international law? How do you handle this?
Yes, I'll answer this question. This happened in one of our cases also. There was a chunk of land in Aberdeen also. The properties were there. It was in Punjab also. It was in Hyderabad and Delhi and so on and so forth. Now, see, it is always good to make a will for different countries, different will. What happens is, I'll tell you the reason why I'm telling you to simplify things. One will can also work. The only thing is, if it is contested, in that case, you need to probate it in every country. Because in India, if a will has been probated in UK, and there is no contestant party over here, so you file the probated will of UK, put it before the Honorable Court, and they will acknowledge it. Now we take a reverse, where somebody is contesting, like it happened in our case also. The will was probated abroad, but then it was a contestant will. So we had to once again probate it here. The due diligence had to be done by the court. So in such like cases, it is always good, make separate will, get it probated in different countries, because it is not one set of, you know, principle, because there are a number of judgments in our from our own country where it is said that if once the will is probated there, it can be taken as probated in India. But again, there is a but. If in case there is being it is being contested in India, then again the procedure has to be with the due diligence as by the Indian courts, so that they could with minute eye go through the bits and bytes and satisfy themselves that yes, this will can be probated in India.
Okay, so you talked about that probating. What is that? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. See, probate is something in rem. In rem, what it is means it's not against an individual across the world. Once your will is probated, that means it has attained the sanctity of being the right will, where the court, you know, they go through the evidence which is laid down by the filer of the we call them petitioner here. It's a technical word. Somebody who's filing the case is known as plaintiff or petitioner. So somebody who has filed the probate to get the will authenticated, so he has to file the case under the Indian Succession Act under section 276. Now to get that probate, because see, people who have good you know estate across, it's always good to go for a probate, so that tomorrow any XYZ should not come and challenge the transfer of the property in the name of beneficiary. So once you have a probate is in rem. Only thing is that as far as title is concerned, the courts doesn't go into the minute details about the title. But what is checked by the court is the examination of the witnesses, forensic expert report, the sound mind of the executant. If there is a testator, he can come and give his evidence also. And here the witnesses, they come before the Honorable Court. They tell what was the mindset of the executant at that point of time. It was hale and hearty. With the sweet will he has made, he or she has made the will. There was no external pressure in front of them. He or she has signed the document, and then even the witnesses have signed. So this is how the court take the cognizance. They try to understand that it was the true will or and the last documentation which was drafted by the executant.
Okay.
Sorry, the testator.
You talked about this witness. There might be a reason or there might be a situation where the witness may have to come to the court whenever the will gets executed.
Right, right.
From that sense, does it make sense or would you advise that the witnesses are a lot more younger than the person who is writing the will? So say, for example, you know, I'm 60, 70 years old. I'm writing this particular will. Normally, the witness would be my own age, my friends, and so on and so forth.
Right,
so would
right.
you recommend maybe 30, 40 years old person?
Yes, Joseph, it is always advisable to go if somebody is of that age bracket. That is why I said one witness, somebody known, and one witness, he can be an advocate or a court person like Lambardar or Sarpanch. So that tomorrow, if required, so they are able to, you know, come and depose as a witness. So it is always good to go for a youngster who could be a witness in the case. And that is another very good, you know, suggestion given by you. So one can definitely think, but then again, they need to be somebody who are, you know, mature enough to come and give their statement. Youngsters these days are very smart, but then they need to have maturity enough to understand what is the reason a person is writing a will and what are his sentiments connected with that documentation. That's very, very important over here.
Okay. So you already touched upon this particular point, but finally, what are the potential challenges or disputes that can come out of executing the will? The person is gone. So the person is demise, the person is gone. The person is not there to explain what my interests were, why I did what I did. So what could be the challenges or the disputes that could come up?
Yes, there are a few challenges. Number one is that you've not registered your will, but that can be taken care under the Indian Registration Act under Section 41(2), where post the demise, an inquiry can be conducted by the registrar by filing a application before the registrar by the executant or the beneficiary. And then a newspaper publication takes place. And then that procedure is like an inquiry where the witnesses again have to come. It's different from probate. Probate takes place in the session court. Here or the high courts. But here it is the registrar's court, which I am pointing to. Post the death, if you have to register the will. It is Section 41(2) of Indian Registration Act. So here you give a newspaper publication, as I said earlier. The witnesses, they'll be examined. They will give their affidavit statements. And even the beneficiary, that why, you know, what relation he or she has, or what was the reason for a person to write the will in his or her name. And once the registrar is satisfied, he gives his, you know, orders that this will is correct and this thing, and it is not, you know, null or void. He comes after the examination, he gives his order. So these orders attain sanctity and your will becomes registered. Apart from that, there is a special provision under Indian Succession Act. Now that we are on a podcast, I would like to tell your viewers, especially for the army personnel and all who are on the border area or in the Navy or Air Force, and there are certain circumstances in a war situation or somewhere they feel that maybe this is their last day, or they feel that maybe something stuck their mind, but they are not very hopeful for their, you know, life that they will live tomorrow. So even their voice recording, video recording, or telling their, you know, colleagues over there that I want post, if I am not alive tomorrow, I want my this farmland to go to my daughter or so and so forth. Apart from that, one thing that becomes challenging, having said about the privileged will that I was telling, it need not to be registered, but you can, the person, he needs to explain the circumstances under which he was told by the, or written a plain page of paper, handwritten, is taken as the last desires of the concerned. That is for the officials in the capacity who are serving for the nation. Apart from that, at times what happens is people do mistakes, like they foresee something beyond while that is not happening or it has not taken place post their demise. For example, what I'm trying to say is A writes a will where he has bequeathed his property to the grandchildren while his son is yet to be married. Now, when he dies, it happens. It happened with us. It was an Urdu will, but by that time when it, you know, it was not now. It was around, I think, 18 or 19 years back, I'm telling you. So what happened, the interesting part was he was married, but unfortunately, they never planned the kid, or they were not blessed, or whatever it is, that will was null and void. So ultimately, through inheritance, they could, you know, do it. Because what the father had written was for the generation. Post his death also, they were not there. So, you know, such like things, they need to take care. Then, as I said earlier, while drafting a will, if you are planning to bequeath your property, immovable, movable, if you are not giving to your, you know, the inherited, you know, by law, who are going to inherit your, you know, the estate, give reasons why you don't want to do it. Don't just in emotions, you know, write will saying that A wants to give to D, who has no relationship, but define what D has done in your life, how he took care of you, or whether he was your business partner, at what point of time he helped you, and today you feel a lot of love and empathy for him or her, and you want post your death these things should be inherited by her, or he or she will take care this, how it is to be done. So be mindful while writing, because the main purpose of the will is that whatever you desire should be fulfilled post your death. So to get it implement right, be clear, don't be confused, but write when you are in the right mindset. Don't get flown by or you know, swayed by the emotions or certain incidents, and then write and then revoke and then write. At times that can be challenged by those people who are not the right ones, by saying that you are not in the right state of mind, or proving that he or she was under some pressure from the outsider and this is how it happened. So take decisions when you are in the right mindset.
Thank you. Thank you, Priyanka. I know you are busy, so thank you so much for taking the time. To all my guests, I ask three rapid-fire questions. In your first appearance, we didn't have it. So here it goes. What's the kindest thing anyone has done for you?
The kindest thing? Right. One of the best thing one person has done is that to tell honestly, the kindest thing is that what are my weaknesses and how I should, overcome them. I will not name the person, but generally speaking, there are very hardly few people who would come and tell where you need to improve. So I'll say that to be some act of kindness.
Very, very, very good answer, Priyanka. This podcast is about leadership. In that particular sense, what do you think as the best leadership quality and who has manifested it in your life?
See, I will not name one person who has manifested leadership in my life. But yes, of course, having said that, for me, leadership is a person who always takes his, people around him along with him. If he or she should not be a loner. Because that is one quality a leadership should always have, and learn and unlearn. A leader should not be somebody who thinks himself to be above everybody, even in his organization or at home. He should be somebody who's ready to embrace, his clan, his organization with a stride that it is the growth of togetherness. So for me, that is one quality a leadership should have and should be focused. And whenever he finds some, issues coming in his organization, it's better politely, discuss, try to find a solution instead of being harsh and criticizing it openly, which is not good. Okay. We have to give, an opportunity for, your people in your ecosystem to grow with you. That's more important.
Okay, thank you. Finally, Priyanka, what's your definition of living a good life?
Living a good life is a mixture of many things, where you have a family, you have a purpose of life as work, and you should be able to give some time to your own self also with nature, and you should give back somewhere in life to the ecosystem. Maybe by planting one tree a month, we could give, something, not giving, but something for our coming generation. So there are many, many ingredients for that. But few of them, what I think personally, are these.
Looking at your WhatsApp photos, I can say that you're living a good life.
Thank you. I'm blessed. And God is very kind. And He's always given good friends like you. And I always try to learn and unlearn and keep growing, because life is to keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Priyanka, for taking the time. I learned a lot. Again, this particular podcast, we have tried to schedule multiple times, but you have taken the time. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Joseph, and thank you, Gravitas, for inviting me. And as already say, I said earlier also, it is, God is kind, and it's a pleasure always to come on your podcast and to interact with you. There's so much to learn from you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you found this conversation useful and insightful. Can I request you to subscribe, rate, and review this episode? And don't forget to share with others. Have a life of faith.